Hey, wait a minute. That splash wasn't a wave. It looks like somebody's in the water and he's splashing around. And the people came out to see who it was and they say, hey, wait a minute. Isn't that the captain splashing around? No, the captain is steering the ship. Don't you see him up there in his captain place? And they look up there in the captain place. The captain's not up there by the steering wheel. Well, who's by the steering wheel? The assistant captain? No, nobody's by the steering wheel. The steering wheel is going by itself, round and around, and that's why the boat is going so, it's rocking back and forth. Nobody's steering it. Well, where's the captain? He must have splashed in the water. What's he's going for a swim? No, something's wrong. Okay, some people, they jumped off the ship to get the captain, but the captain was already splashed away, and they saw shark fins. Oh, sharks, let's get back at the ship. Can't go to the sharks. Oh, there was a lot of sharks over at one certain place in the ocean, because they were shining a light by this time. And over there, you could see the captain hat and the captain's special coat. But you couldn't exactly see the captain. You could just see a bunch of shark fins. And we don't want to go too much into it. But anyway, the captain, this is already the end of the captain, to put it nicely. As we're eating our tuna fish and our French fries dipped in ketchup. Okay, we're not going to elaborate, but that's what we're eating. Tuna fish and French fries dipped in ketchup as we're listening to the end of the captain with the sharks. Okay, those who understand will understand. And now we'll go on with the story. Kenalach, the assistant captain ran up to take over the steering wheel, that the ship should go on course to England and it shouldn't go out somewhere else in the ocean. And everybody on the ship felt very bad. The captain must have fallen over. What in the world happened to the captain that he fell over off of his little porch into the water? The poor captain. Well, the assistant captain by this time seemed to figure out what happened to the captain, because he saw an empty bottle of Mashke on the floor. And the assistant captain knew that about an hour before, that bottle was almost full. Well, if the bottle was almost full and now it's empty, and also there was a cup and it smelled like Mashke, he figured out, where did all that Mashke go? What do you think he figured out? Where did all that Mashke go?
The captain.
Into the captain. The Mashke went into the captain, and of course the captain went out to get a breath of fresh air, and instead of breath of fresh air, he got a bunch of ocean in him, and that was the end of the captain. Well, Kenalach, the boat continued to England. They got to England. They got now right outside of the port. They came into the place where the boats park, and now comes the inspector, and he says, where's the captain of the ship? Well, unfortunately, the captain of the ship didn't exactly make it, but we'll get you the assistant captain. Okay, here comes the assistant captain. All right, I have to see now the special paper that shows what's on the ship and who owns it. Well, the assistant captain thought to himself, wait a minute, where is that paper? The captain must have that paper, but the captain is not around. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. The assistant captain now remembered, next to the steering wheel was a paper, and that was the paper. Officer, I'll get you the paper. And the officer says, and remember, the tax has to be paid. Oh yeah, the tax has to be paid. Now, Kenalach, the assistant captain is running to get that paper. He gets the paper. Now, the assistant captain didn't know everything that happened between the captain and Shimon and the whole thing. All he knows was that he had to take over the steering wheel after the captain fell off into the ocean. And all he knows is he's got to give the paper to the inspector. And he finds the paper and he says, okay, let's see, who's the owner of all the things, all the stuff on the ship? Let's see. Oh, on the ship is wheat. Okay, the captain was bringing wheat. The owner of the ship is Shimon. Oh, okay, the paper says Shimon. Let's see. Is there a passenger on board? Shimon. And they go around calling, is there a passenger on board whose name is Shimon? And Shimon comes now to the assistant captain, and my name is Shimon. Okay, Shimon, it says according to this paper that you are the owner and you have to pay the tax. Oh, yes, yes, I have the tax in this envelope. Okay, come with me. We have to go to the inspector. They brought the paper. Shimon has the tax in the envelope. The inspector says, are you Shimon? He looks at the paper. The inspector looks at the paper. Okay, and this ship is wheat. Is that right? You're Shimon, you're the owner of this wheat? Shimon doesn't say anything, but the captain says, Shimon doesn't say anything, but the inspector says, okay, your name is Shimon, this is the paper, this is your wheat, now pay the tax. He hands over the tax to the officer. The officer counts the money. He says, you're very lucky, Mr. Shimon, because just the last few days in England, the price of wheat has shot up, up, up. Wheat has gotten very expensive. This shipment of wheat a few weeks ago would have been worth $1 million. And today it's worth $10 million because the price has gone up. But you're lucky because the king decided, since the price of wheat has shot up, he's going to raise the tax. Because if the wheat is worth more money, the king wants more tax. But the problem is that until the king decided and he goes through all of the different things that he has to do to raise the tax, do you know when they're going to raise the tax? Tomorrow! Tomorrow is the day they raise the tax 10 times. But today, the tax is the same like it was before. So you're paying tax on the wheat the way it was before, but you're going to be able to sell the wheat in England, not just for $1 million, for $10 million. Here's your paper. Take your wheat into England and go sell it. Now, was there anybody there to say that Shimon was not the owner of the wheat? Was the captain there to tell Shimon to give him the paper to tear it up?
No.
Could the captain tear up the paper? Unfortunately, the captain himself was torn up. He couldn't tear up the paper. And so Shimon took his paper, and he took his wheat, and he took it to the marketplace with all of the different schleppers and workers, and they sold the wheat for $10 million. And who got the $10 million?
Shimon.
And so we see, Kinalach, was the diamond Shimon's? No, the diamond ended up in the bottom of the ocean. Maybe together with the captain's shoes or something. But what really was Shimon's? In the end?
Wheat.
The wheat. And what was worth more, the diamond or the wheat?
The wheat.
The wheat was even worth more than the diamond. And all of this good stuff happened because Shimon did not get nervous and crack up when he lost his diamond. He said, tracht good, vet sein good. Everything will work out okay in the end. I'll just go and see what it'll be and do my best. And in the end, everything worked out so good. Because when you think good, it is good. This happened in the time of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab used to travel different places to help Yidden and to do important things, to meet with officers and generals and presidents and kings, because There are all kinds of things that the Rebbe Rishab used to do to help Yidden. Besides learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And when he used to travel, he used to take a special helper who happened to be his son, who became the Friedeker Rebbe. And of course, at that time, he wasn't the Friedeker Rebbe. He was Yosef Yitzchak. And the many stories of different things that happened when the Rebbe Rishab went with his son traveling. And this is one of the stories. They were in a certain city, and they were staying at a hotel. They were staying at a hotel, and the custom of the Rebbe Rishab was, whether he was staying at the hotel or even at home, after the midday meal, after lunch, which was the bigger meal, the biggest meal of the day, after lunchtime, he used to rest a little bit. Now, how did the Rebbe Rishab used to rest a little bit? He used to go over to the couch. He used to lean, not lay down. He would just lean a little bit. He would close his eyes for a few minutes, and he would rest. And then he would get up, and he would go and do all the different things of the busy day. And that was his little resting time, just leaning on the couch for a few minutes with his eyes closed. And this is what he did every day. After the midday meal, after the lunchtime, the Rebbe Rishab went over to the couch, and he leaned a little bit, and he closed his eyes. And the Friedeker Rebbe was waiting for his father, after a few minutes, to get up, and they would do all the busy things they had to do that day. And that was the last day of their trip, traveling around. And as far as the Friedeker Rebbe knew, after they finished that day and all the things they have to do, they're going to go back home. And he was looking forward to going back home to see his wife and his three daughters and, you know, to be at home. But he noticed that his father, after a few minutes, did not get up from the couch. He was still leaning. And after another 5 or 10 minutes, he began to think, well, what's going on? My father seems to be taking a longer rest than usual. And he looked at the Rebbe Rishab on the couch, and he saw his eyes were not just closed. They were half open and half closed. The half open, his eyes being half open, it looks like he was looking, like he saw something. But his eyes were also half closed. Well, this was kind of strange because the Rebbe, the Friedeker Rebbe, had not seen this before from his father. And he was not used to his father being so long resting. So he began to make some noise. He did not, chas v'shalom, want to just wake up his father. But he was concerned why his father is so long on the couch. So he started moving around some chairs, and he started pushing the table, and the table made noise, and he started stomping his feet, and he started coughing, and he opened and closed the window a few times, and he thought maybe the noise would kind of wake up his father, but his father did not move. His father still was in the same position on the couch with his eyes half open and half closed, like he's staring out into space somewhere, completely still. But of course he noticed his father was breathing and he was okay. An hour went by. 2 hours went by. And 3 hours went by. And the Rebbe Rishab was still motionless, not moving. And the Friedeker Rebbe became very, very concerned. But he would not dare to wake up his father. After all, it's his father and it's his Rebbe. You don't exactly figure out what a Rebbe is doing. And it's not necessarily your business to change what a Rebbe is doing, because the Rebbe is in charge of what he's doing. Their sun was going down, and it was already the end of the day, and the Rebbe Rishab had not yet daven mincha, and the Friedrich Rebbe had not yet daven mincha, because he was concerned about what's going on with his father. All of a sudden, as the sun is going down, the Rebbe Rishab wakes up, or whatever you call it, because he wasn't really asleep. He stands up very fast from the couch. His eyes are open. He looks very excited. And he says to the Friedrich Rebbe, "What day is it? Which parsha are we in?" Friedrich Rebbe says, "It's Wednesday." And he said the name of the parsha. His father said, "I have to daven mincha." And he got ready for mincha, and he daven mincha, and his son daven mincha, and he daven ma'ariv. And the Rebbe Rishab did not explain, he did not say anything. And of course the Friedrich Rebbe was wondering, what in the world was that all about? That his father was so long on the couch, and he got up so excited, but he didn't say anything. And the Friedrich Rebbe said to himself, "Of course I'm curious, I'd like to find out. We'll see what happens tomorrow." And just like in this story, we're going to see what happens tomorrow. In the lunchroom, we're going to have to see what happens tomorrow, because today we don't have any more time for the story. So we're exactly holding in the same place in the story. By the story, the Friedrich Rebbe sees what's, he will hopefully see what's going to happen tomorrow, and we're going to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen to Hashem in Yerushalayim, after the coming of Mashiach. Huh? Well, tomorrow. The real tomorrow. The next morning, after davening, the Rebbe Rishab said to the Friedrich Rebbe, or he asked him, he says, "How much cash do we have? How much money do we have?" And the Friedrich Rebbe, he was in charge of the money when they went on trips. He counted how much cash they had, how much money they had, and he told his father how much. And the Rebbe Rishab says, "I need more. I need much more. I have to buy something, so I need more cash." Well, Kenelach, the Friedrich Rebbe understood that he has to go out and get a loan. And they knew people in the town they were staying, and he went right out, and he borrowed money for his father, and he came back with a lot more cash, and he gave his father the cash. His father got ready to go out. The Rebbe Rishab was going out with the cash in his pocket, and it seems from the story that whenever the Rebbe Rishab would want the Friedrich Rebbe to go with him, he would tell him or ask him to please go along with him. But if he said nothing, it means he wants to go by himself. The Rebbe Rishab did not say anything. He just put on his coat and he went out without the Friedrich Rebbe, and the Friedrich Rebbe stayed in the hotel room. And the Friedrich Rebbe waits in the hotel room. A while later, there's a knock on the door. And there's a voice. And this is what the story says. "Hello, is this the room where Mr. Schneerson stays?" Now imagine calling the Rebbe Mr. Schneerson. But the Friedrich Rebbe understands that there must be some Goy outside. Sounds like a delivery man or somebody who comes to the hotel room for some kind of service or business or whatever it is, who knows. Obviously he doesn't understand who the Rebbe Rashab is. And the Friedeke Rebbe says, this is the room of Rabbi Schneerson. Oh, I have a package that was bought in a store by Mr. Schneerson, and the store asked me to deliver it because he bought something in the store today, and he wants it delivered to this room. If this is his room, I would like to deliver the package. Well, the Friedeke Rebbe understands that his father went shopping with that money and he bought something. He opens the door, and there's a delivery man there, probably dressed up in a delivery man uniform with a delivery man hat. Shh. And he's carrying a big box wrapped in pink paper with pink flowers and a pink ribbon. And the Friedeke Rebbe wonders, what in the world is this big pink box with pink ribbon, pink flowers, pink wrapping paper? And he sees the name of the store written on the box, and it's a ladies' dress store where they sell ladies' dresses. A package from a woman's dress shop. A nice big pink package. Well, the Friedeke Rebbe wonders, what in the world could my father have gone to buy today from a woman's dress shop? Oh, maybe he bought dresses for his three granddaughters, because the Friedeke Rebbe had three daughters. Who knows who was the husband of one of the daughters? And her name was Chaya Mushke. Who knows who was the husband of Chaya Mushke?
Moshiach.
Okay. Or a person might say another way. What could he say?
Rebbe's wife.
Okay, that was the Rebbe's wife. Want to say Moshiach? You could say Moshiach. Anyway, the Friedeke Rebbe, of course, did not open the package. He just wondered what was inside. And he thinks maybe there are three dresses for the three granddaughters. A while later, the Rebbe Rashab comes back to the hotel. And when he came in the room, he saw the package there and he smiled. He was happy the package came. And he says, it's time to pack up. We're going. Now, the Friedeke Rebbe, as far as he knew, they're going to pack up and go home because they were done with all the different things to do on that trip. So he expected that they're going to go home. So they packed up. The Friedeke Rebbe went to the hotel man and paid the bill. He called a taxi. They took the cab to the train station. And he goes to the ticket window to buy a ticket to go back home to whichever city they were living at the time. But right before they got to the ticket window, the Rebbe Rashab said, we have to go to Pressburg. So please buy two tickets to Pressburg. There's a city called Pressburg. As far as I know, it's called now Bratislava. And it used to be called Pressburg. There used to be a very halakha, a great tzaddik in that town who came from that town. His name was the Chassam Sofer. Who heard of the Chassam Sofer? He comes from Pressburg, or now it's Bratislava. Shh. Now, the Friedeke Rebbe was very surprised because this is the first time that he heard on this trip, they're going to go to Pressburg. His father never said anything about it, and it wasn't written down in any of their plans, but of course, the Rebbe Rashab says, we're going to Pressburg, so we're going to Pressburg. Two tickets for Pressburg on the next train. And the Friedeke Rebbe buys two tickets for the train going to Pressburg, and now they go to Pressburg. In the afternoon, they get to this city called Pressburg. And they get their packages and their suitcases, and the Friedrich Rebbe is going to get a cab to take them to the hotel. Obviously, they're going to stay in some kind of a hotel. That's what he thinks. And the Rebbe Rishab says, no, we are going to walk. Don't bother getting a taxi. We're going to walk. Of course, the Friedrich Rebbe is a little bit surprised because they have a lot of packages. But the Rebbe Rishab says, we're going to go to Reb Avraham's hotel. There's a hotel named Reb Avraham's hotel, and we're going to walk there. They take the suitcases. Of course, probably the Friedrich Rebbe is carrying the big pink package with the pink ribbons and the pink flowers and the pink wrapping paper. And they're carrying now through the street, going away from the train station. And they're walking with all their stuff. And of course, the Friedrich Rebbe is wondering, why do we have to walk with all this stuff? Especially, you know, can imagine a yid with a beard, the Friedrich Rebbe, a tzaddik, walking with a Rebbe Rishab, carrying a big package with pink ribbon and pink flowers. But listen, if this is what the Rebbe Rishab wants, that's what's going to be. All of these things, of course, very interesting and strange to the Friedrich Rebbe, who's wondering what in the world is going on since yesterday. But he's patient. There's two ways if you're interested. If you're wondering what's going on and you don't know, there's two ways. You can start, you know, finding out. And there's different ways. Or sometimes you just say, let me wait and see what happens. If Friedrich Rebbe knew, this is not something to start questioning and asking a bunch of different things to his father. He will wait and find out. And as they're walking now in the streets of Pressburg, leaving the train station, all of a sudden, they see a young man, a yeshiva bacher, and he's walking down the street. Well, actually, he's not walking. He is walking very fast down the street, and he's holding a Gemara in his hand. And he looks like he's walking in a hurry, going somewhere. And all of a sudden, as he's walking near the Rebbe Rishab, the Rebbe Rishab stops the young man. He says, excuse me, please. Could you please tell me the directions to Rebbe Avram's hotel? And the young man, who seemed to be in a great hurry, he says, well, you go down that street all the way to the end, and then you'll have to ask somebody else, because I'm in a big hurry. I'm sorry, I can't tell you. But over there, somebody will tell you, because you have to go right and left. And the Bacher did not know this is the Rebbe Rishab. If the Bacher knew that this was the Rebbe Rishab, he definitely would have stopped and given all the directions and been happy to do so. In those days, were not so many pictures of a Rebbe or the face of a tzaddik. Nobody saw pictures to know who somebody was if they lived far away. So therefore, by looking at the face of the Rebbe Rishab, the Bacher didn't know this is the Rebbe Rishab because I had pictures of the Rebbe Rishab. And so the Bacher said, I'm in a big hurry. When you go down there, you can ask where the hotel is. But the Rebbe Rishab said, no, this is no way to treat strangers. And he asked the Bacher please to explain where to go, and the Bacher did. After the young man gave directions to the Rebbe Rishab and the Friedrich Rebbe, he said, I better tell you a very important thing. That just yesterday, Rebbe Avraham passed away. And the family is sitting Shiva. The hotel is still open because the workers are taking care of it. There are people staying there. But I just thought you should know that the family is sitting Shiva because the father passed away. And the Rebbe said, when did he pass away? Yesterday? About what time? Oh, about the middle of the day. And the Bachar says, the Levaya lasted until the sun went down. And the Friedeker Rebbe thought, oh, that's interesting. Yesterday, from the middle of the day till the sun went down, that's when my father was on the couch with his eyes half open and half closed, and he didn't move. And finally, when the sun was going down, all of a sudden he got up to daven mincha. And that whole time, he had this very far away look in his face. That's very interesting. And finally, they said goodbye to the Bachar, and the Bachar went on very fast wherever he was going.